New sponsor alert. Guys, I got to tell you about our new sponsor, T-Fury. It's the original pop culture t-shirt destination selling unique designs every day since 2008. I can barely remember that far back. I'm going to have to take their word on that. You can snag their shirts for only 24 hours starting at midnight. Man, I'm talking fast right now. Missing a shirt from the past and want to get it again? Head to the T-Fury Gallery where you can buy some old designs still in print and vote on others to come back from the dead. Zombie style. Every 2 to 4 weeks, T-Fury adds more designs to their gallery, so be sure to keep an eye out for the return of your favorite shirts. T-Fury shirts cover all your favorite topics and fandoms. Nerds, I am talking to you. They've got everything from gaming, sci-fi, anime, TV, movies, pop culture, and more. I can't imagine what the more is. I feel like they covered everything just then. Their t-shirts change daily, so check back as often as you'd like. Also, don't forget about the T-Fury After Hours sale. If you miss the day's shirt by only a little, they keep the sale going into the wee hours of the morning just for you. I can only imagine that means thousands upon thousands of t-shirt employees waiting for you to place an order. Please make their night. It sounds super depressing waiting up alone when a sale's going on. This December, T-Fury has some awesome shirts that'll make great gifts for the pop culture enthusiast in your life. If you're like me, that basically means that every website I go onto thinking I'm looking for gifts for other people, I just end up buying stuff for myself. Check out tfury.com. See what today's shirt is all about. T-Fury, here comes their slogan. I'm going to turn it into a song. Wear your art on your sleeve. On your sleeve! Hey guys, welcome to episode 90 of the JV Club with my wonderful guest, Danielle Koenig, a friend I have known for quite some time, also married to the charming and delightful Jimmy Pardo, whose podcast, Never Not Funny, is one of my favorites. I wanted to quickly say, you know, this is sort of stuck in my craw, and I don't usually care about stuff like this, but someone just, a couple of people had said to me, like, hey, why doesn't the Onion AV Club review you, hasn't reviewed you for the last couple of months? You were always one of their top picks. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't feel that the podcast has suffered in quality in any way. Maybe they're just taking a break and focusing on some new podcasts, but I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I do think that those reviews from the AV Club help. And if you feel like you want to tweet the AV Club or write them or contact them in some way and say, like, hey, we miss seeing those write-ups for the JV Club, I mean, I welcome you to do so. I feel kind of gross saying that, but I'm terrible at self-promotion, so I'm just sort of trying to do things that I think, like, I put myself in the shoes of somebody who's really smart about stuff like that, and I'm trying to emulate what I think they would do. So, you know, if you want to make some noise about getting me back on there, I would say please do. What else did I want to say? I wanted to remind you that you have the opportunity to support Melissa McDaniel's fine photography, as well as an animal charity organization. I'm probably just going to do the SPCA. Unless somebody has strong feelings about another specific animal charity that I should be donating to via Melissa. But again, oh no, Melissa, I've done it again. I have your email as, or your website is melissamcdaniel.com, melissa-mcdaniel.com. I know it takes people to the right page, but I also know that you sent me an updated link and I don't have it in front of me. This is one of the most scattered intros I think I've ever done. Guys, I can tell you straight away, it is because SF Sketchfest is all I think about day and night. But we have put our lineup on our homepage, sfsketchfest.com. It is in San Francisco from January 23rd to February 9th. And it's a pretty extraordinary lineup. I welcome you to come visit me. I was going to do a JV Club live there, but when I took a look at what our schedule is, I think that's going to be too much for me to try to take on. So at this point, I'm kind of sitting out a year with a live podcast. But we do have a bunch of really, really exciting stuff. We're doing a tribute to Key and Peele. We have Tenacious D. We're doing a tribute to them. A tribute to Alan Arkin. He's going to be teaching a workshop. A bunch of favorite people that have come to the festival year after year. Just a lot of really cool stuff. Super proud of it. Super proud of my partners, Dave and Cole. But we are all zombies, and all we do and think about is this festival. So that I wanted to give myself the excuse. See, I couldn't even think of the word excuse because it doesn't involve Sketchfest. I want to thank Kathy M for sending me that very cool YouTube clip on the new invisible helmet invention. I'm excited to see what happens with that. Emmett, I want to thank you for your Facebook message. On Beth's Nerdist page, I want to thank Nicole, Loving Life, PJ Todd, Lucy, Van Zan, and Alec. And guess who else weighed in there? Beth herself. So I'm shouting out you, Beth Littleford. I adore you. On Twitter, I want to thank Jason M., Matthew G., Rena C., Ken, and Celeste, who I can happily report did enjoy Stranger with My Face. And Rena, I want you to hang in there. You asked for a shout out. I want to let you know I'm thinking about you, and I hope you feel better soon. I think that's it for now, guys. Hope you are all doing very well and looking forward to some holidays coming up pretty soon. And do be in touch. Good day.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Wow, that's the first time I've ever started a podcast with just a really low, almost like as an emergency test. Emergency of the broadcast. Did you get that emergency test on your cell phone the other day?
No. Was I supposed to?
Am I crazy? I don't know.
I think you're crazy, but I'm not sure.
I mean, I'm 100% sure it happened.
Yeah, sure.
But the question is, was it like legit? And I forgot all about it until I just made fun of
myself. What do you mean? Was it the phone ring?
All of a sudden, my cell phone made almost the sound that... the television makes when it's like attached to the emergency broadcast system out of nowhere. And I think I was listening to music on it too, so it was extra shrill and scary. All of a sudden it was like and I looked down, I was like and it said like this is an emergency test from Cal blah blah blah.
Really?
And I was like so alarmed. And then it happened one other time.
I mean, I guess it's possible that it happened
like on my network or something,
or I was just saying, when I wasn't with my phone, or something.
It was during the day, if you were like at work or if you were,
I don't work, so that can't be it. Let's see, I was probably at my computer looking at the internet. No, I don't know. I don't know why I wouldn't have heard it.
What network are you with?
Sprint.
Okay, I'm with AT&T, so maybe they're like rolling different.
AT&T. I have no idea. That's very strange.
My first thought, honestly, was like, am I getting cell phone spammed right now? But there's no way. It was like a real thing.
Wow.
It was a real emergency test.
And what was the emergency?
Well, I guess it's just like if there's an earthquake or something.
Right.
It does make sense because when you think about it, like, this is where we live now. I'm holding up my phone. Where we live is on our phone. So it does make sense that like if there was a message that needed to get out to everyone in some ways... it would be just as effective to do it
more effective,
cell phone
right? Through
like
your cell
on
phone,
the internet, or like on landline or whatever. But
or you
course,
could just wait to hear.
Makes you think of like emergencies. Like immediately, I was tense.
Oh my god!
Like, there
what's
might
happening?
Be a situation.
What's happening? Somewhere, something is happening. Which is probably likely.
That's true.
I can't. Live no, like I didn't that. Have it, but I look forward to it. I look forward to hearing that shrill
it
noise.
Was very scary.
I already have phantom, like, do you get the phantom ring, like, where you think you hear your phone?
I do, especially because my phone, my ringtone is like a song that sometimes, like, I play anyway. So.
Baby Got Back? What is it?
Yes, it's Baby Got Back. It's an Andrew Bird song. I just like this. I like this one.
I'm not cool enough to even know who that is.
Yeah, he's called Andrew Bird, I think, because he's like a champion whistler.
When
he was a kid, yeah. But he's like a violin virtuoso. He's like a violin virtuoso also. He's like a contemporary of like, you know, he'll be at Largo with like Amy Mann.
Okay.
Those folks.
Uh-huh. But he is a bird whistler?
Well, he's just a good whistler. Whistling.
Look, there's only so many applications. You could be a football coach. Or you could be a bird caller.
A construction worker.
A construction worker.
Old school, who just whistles at women all day.
You could pretend you're in the 40s and you're hailing a cab. Sure. Whatever. I don't know why that would have to be. But so, you know, you go where your talents lie.
Correct.
And you apply them.
Correct.
And God love him. He found.
Listen. He's got a beautiful singing voice. He plays great violin. He does like the violin loop. Where, you know, it's like the way a guitarist would, where you like build, but you sort of, when you're live, you like play one thing on the violin and then you loop that. And so that starts playing and then you play to yourself.
Oh.
And so we'll build this beautiful, and then the whistling kind of comes into play with that.
But you can't whistle while you're violining, right?
He probably could. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. His name's Andrew Bird.
I'm just trying to think. Your head is on your shoulder.
If anyone can do it.
If anyone can do it, Andrew Bird can.
Anyone can do it. If there was an emergency and I got an emergency,
maybe that's what you heard.
For a whistle.
Maybe you were listening to Andrew Bird. Oh, that's the warbler or whatever. The blue chested.
Yeah,
something.
Oh, it would be cool if he like brought in actual bird whistles, but it might just be.
That would be cool, Janet. Yeah. That really would. Oh, man.
I mean, I think we both know what cool is.
I do.
That's it.
I know. I know. We sure do.
What is your ringtone? Is it just some non-cool, non-bird whistle?
It is. It's just some, you know, I don't even know how to, like.
You can't whistle an impersonation?
No, I mean, I don't even know how to put a song on as my.
Oh,
like that's how old and out of it I am. So it's just one of whatever the tone is.
The ringtones.
It's just one of the ones. Yeah.
Listen, I have had the same ringtone for probably since the iPhone came out.
Okay.
It just transfers over every new phone I get.
I just got an iPhone for the first time.
Okay. So I'm still winning this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I was trying to say because I don't know if I would know how to do it now. I feel like.
Oh no! It's part of you now. You have to have it.
Yeah.
I didn't want the touch screen because even though I have the world's tiniest fingers, I'm a clod when it comes to and so it's just
beating
like
at it with your fist.
Right, so but anyway I gave in because my phones weren't working, so I finally got an iPhone.
But
and
how
I,
do you feel now? Because don't you feel like, I mean, that really is a glorious,
I enjoy it very
toy,
much,
right?
I mean, it's very fun,
so lovely.
And the spell check, I mean, because I get every word wrong, like every other word is completely wrong, but they know not just if it looks like the word, but if it's the letters near the letters that would spell that word. Like if every letter is off, they know what word
Isn't
it is.
That fascinating.
So I'm golden. Most of the time, I'm fine.
How would you like to be the person that is responsible for
okay, well, this idiot typed and that, of course, means sometimes. Yeah.
That would seems like a boring yet a job where you could pretty much convince yourself you are a hero. Because in some ways, you are.
To me, that
saving
to me that person's
day.
A hero. Yeah, yeah. I always joke that like my mom's emails on a computer.
Yeah,
it's like they don't own a cat, but it's as if a cat just walked across the screen, walked across the keyboard because
she doesn't spell check or correct anything, or
there's no punctuation. There's punctuation where there shouldn't be. There's misspelled words. There's incomplete sentences. So she'll be like, we'll go to there or ... And I guess that's supposed to mean we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
But like, that's even a bad example. But mostly
that sounds like maybe something I would do.
But it's just like random. She types like she talks. So it's incomplete thoughts and like responses to things that haven't been asked. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And then like reference to the studio club that she lived in the 50s. I don't know. Just like weird. But honestly, there's just so many misspellings.
And they're from her computer. I'm glad you called that out because I feel like
I have people that I get
really bad texts from where you're like, they're not thinking this through at all.
No,
but
no.
If you're sitting down at a computer, it feels like you put in more effort.
No, she's just like, I think she puts on like oven mitts and starts typing because there's no precision.
Well, she probably keeps
precision.
Them on all the time because women belong in the kitchen.
Exactly.
And not in front of technology.
You know what I realized the other day? I don't know. It just occurred to me. It's sort of adorable, but like even if she's just pouring a cup of tea or putting cookies on a plate, she'll put on her apron.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's pretty adorable.
It's pretty adorable. And it's not like she's some, you know, huge cook who loves being in the kitchen or something. It's just that I just noticed it. But I guess it's because she's a slob.
I am too.
I am too.
I probably should wear. I should wear a bib.
We were talking earlier about spilling things.
Yeah.
Before I regularly will find chocolate just on my car seat, just everywhere.
Oh, for sure.
I'm a child, so I have to eat chocolate every day.
Understood. And supported.
Yeah. And then I'll like find it.
What about on your couch? Because you're sitting on what I like to call the mustard couch.
Oh, is this the
because
mustard couch?
I somehow get mustard on that couch like every day.
Oh, what are you eating with mustard? Just like a mustard sandwich? I love mustard.
No, there's no bread. Just mustard. No,
just mustard.
Just squeeze
just
it
shots
out
of mustard.
You know how people go to the fridge and get a whipped cream and
sure.
they just get a whipped cream straight in the mouth?
Sure, just, I need something savory.
I eat a lot of mustard and
I do love mustard.
And I do
like somehow it just, because I don't really eat that many sandwiches, but because I don't eat a lot of like gluten-free bread. I know that like there's really good gluten-free bread, but now I'm out of the habit of it. And so I'll do a lot of like lettuce wraps or like,
oh, so they're super messy.
Stuff that I'm dipping into dip, or like there's hummus. Hummus is another thing that ends up on that couch
hummus
all the time.
Hummus and chocolate I eat every day.
Right? I mean, I definitely eat hummus every day.
Yeah, me too.
So just anything like that. Well, this is something that I also do with my hummus is I enjoy the tartness of mustard so much that I now mix a little bit of mustard, like jalapeno mustard, in with red pepper hummus.
Wow.
It's like my new favorite thing.
That is another level of hummus.
Yeah, and mustard.
And mustard. Jalapeno mustard. I've never even heard of that.
They have it at Whole Foods. I'm a big fan. But it's too spicy on its own. So I like to cut it with something. And
the thing you cut it with is
red pepper hummus.
Red pepper hummus.
It's kind of sweet and like soothing. That's what I would put on myself if I got hurt.
If you got a burn. Exactly. It's good for snacks or flesh wounds.
Exactly. Or just major, major bloody trauma.
So like there was a time period where I was like finding food in my son's hair that I had dropped there. Like,
that's
just
terrific.
Like he's on my lap and I'm just like dropping chocolate on his head.
Don't you feel like that's better for him? I don't know if it's better or worse for him, but in the sense that like at least you know you're not one of those moms that's like, don't touch that.
Last night, sometimes I let him eat dinner in front of the TV on the weekends, like if we're watching a movie or something. So he was doing that and he has this wooden chair and he tips back in it constantly. Mm-hmm. And he's eating food and he's such a slob anyway. And I'm like constantly telling him, stop tipping back in the chair. And then yesterday, he spilled something and then he wiped it on the napkin. And I was like, well, now the napkin isn't usable. You should have wiped it on. And then he just kind of gave me a look and I said, stop criticizing me, right, Mom? And he goes, yes. And I'm like, you're right. You know, like I had to catch myself. So I am a little bit naggy, but...
So Oliver, for everyone who doesn't know, is 17 years old.
Yeah, he's 17.
You can't not make that
joke. He sits on my lap.
It's such a joke
my
dad would make. It's
such a dad
joke.
It's a joke his dad makes.
But tell everybody how old Oliver is.
He's six.
Yeah, so Oliver's six. I can't believe he's six.
I know. It's crazy.
Danielle's husband is the marvelous Jimmy Pardo. I've talked about him on the podcast before, I'm sure. One of my favorite people.
Mine as well.
That's good news. That's very good news. And I would say one of my favorite families, for a family I never see. I love you guys. I love
We're
you guys
pretty.
As a trio. I know, you're pretty adorable.
Like, we make a good public appearance.
Oh, you definitely do. Remember when I ran into you at the Grove?
Shipwreck sale behind doors. Yes, I do.
Oh, man.
I do. That was a while ago. But
family. Yeah, that was a long
time
ago.
Yeah. But Oliver's...
He was like four at that time.
Yeah. Was it in Barnes & Noble?
I think it was outside of something, and then somehow we went into like Pottery Barn Kids or something.
Okay.
I feel
I
remember Oliver playing and being real cute with like a lot of things that he was playing.
Yeah, he's pretty cute. He's also a nightmare, but he's adorable.
That's childhood.
Yeah. That's six, apparently.
Well, but there's like a thing for every age.
Well, it's just that at this age, I'm finding he is, as my therapist put it yesterday, Friday, you're realizing he's not you. And that's what it is. So it's like...
And is he also realizing he's not you guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's very individual and he's got his own personality and he's kind of... I mean he's
you
hilarious.
And Jimmy both have like super strong personalities.
Right.
And, like, that's what I love that you have like very specific points of view and you know who you are.
I think so.
A lot of people in this town don't. You know what I mean? You know who you are. You're not going to morph to be something.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yes, that's a good way. That's a positive way of putting it. Right. But sometimes I feel like, I analyze a lot, you know, like, I wish I were this way or I wish I were more this. But I think
we all do. You know? I think we're all really difficult, but we all want to think that we're not difficult. But like sometimes if it's better for everyone if we just all admit to ourselves like, you know what, I'm difficult in the sense that.
Right.
I am who I am.
Yeah.
We get to be who we are. And like, we're difficult at different ages for different reasons.
Right.
In our 20s, maybe we're like laissez-faire about like, and then I just took my backpack and went to Europe or whatever.
Right.
And now if you're in your 30s and you're like, and then you're in your 40s, you're like, I don't know if I need a nice bed where I don't.
Right.
But like, when you're in your 20s, you're totally difficult for different reasons. Like, you're probably more emotionally difficult because everything's a bigger, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But it's hard because we all want to feel like we're super compatible with everyone or we're really easy to get along with.
Yeah.
And we're probably all not in a lot of ways.
I think what it is just I'm too concerned with, I'm still, even at this age, still too concerned with perceptions and And I find that even in parenting, you know, like, oh, I get embarrassed, or I feel apologetic, or instead of just, you know, being sort of strong in myself and whatever. Anyway, but my point in bringing that up was that the differences that Oliver has, where he's not so sensitive to others, I tried to spin it in a positive way. And actually, I wasn't spinning it. I actually, it was a realization. I was like, well, you know what? Maybe he won't be so concerned with, is everything okay?
Yeah,
you
no, look no, no. concerned. Just, at no, the I, every once in a while, I just like to, because I don't have a producer, I just like to check in, just make sure. Like, I look down at the things. I'm like, yep, everything's recording great.
You're so, like, yeah, Tetris game's still on.
Just checking my email.
Yeah.
No. Because I don't have a producer, I just look at the bandwidth, like the bandwidth. Oh, okay. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I don't know how this works. I know how to turn on my computer. But I see that both of our voices are making a difference on the thing. So I know everything's fine. Okay. But that's every once in a while, like two times I've had audio issues where I didn't recognize that it was happening in the moment. And so like afterwards,
right,
when I was
screwed.
Like processing it, yeah, I was like, oh! So I just always like to be a little careful to make sure. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
So your positive spin on Oliver being potentially less sensitive to certain things.
It's just that maybe he won't be so concerned with what other people think. And maybe that's actually a good thing. And instead of like, I was looking at it as like, oh, I wish my child were more empathetic. I wish he were more, you know, but yes, I still wish those things, but if it gives him a little tougher shell and he's, you know, not so dependent on what other people think of him, or, you know what, maybe that's a nice trade-off, and, you know, I just have to steer him in the best direction I can.
Yeah.
So
that's such a tough question, too, about just in terms of, like, the curiosity of where that comes from, because I feel like you and Jimmy are both, like, aware, as I am, of what other people are feeling.
That's why it's so peculiar to us.
Yeah.
That he's not that.
And you do, and so is the mindset of others isn't like, oh, this is six, or, like, this is part of a phase, or he's just kind of always been like that? Like,
well, no, he's always been like that.
Yeah.
He's always been like that. He's always been just like, he's not like a kid who'll run up and hug you. He's not like, you know, he's not like, he's social with kids. Mm-hmm. But actually even then he'll like be a little reticent, and then he'll get, you know, he just needs to be in his comfort zone, which mm-hmm. is totally normal, of course.
Yeah.
But, he's not like particularly sensitive or.
Were you like a really sensitive child
yeah.
at his age? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Did you cry easily and stuff like that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I'm saying, speaking to someone, yes. No one will be surprised to hear that. It was like, my parents called me Sarah Bernhardt because like everything
seriously?
Was the end of the world.
Oh,
and, like,
my God.
I wish they'd call me Sandra Bernhardt. That would have been
awesome. Would have been even better. Oh, you're tall and gawky.
Yeah. And by the way, guys, I did not know who Sarah Bernhardt was either. And
well,
neither did my parents. Like, that's cool. You know what I mean? They're not making a contemporary
reference.
They just knew
the reference.
Like someone
like,
from forever ago who was like a melodrama
right.
actress. But my parents are both very cultured and we're both teachers. And so emails from either one of them would be the opposite of your mom's. Like, I get really uncomfortable just dashing off an email to my dad.
Oh, because he'll criticize
he
your
absolutely correct
oh, really?
In his mind. I know I'm disappointing him every time. I'm like,
but are you really, or is that just
me and
your,
him did it or whatever?
Me and
you know, I probably wouldn't say that.
But is that your perception, or do you think he actually...
I'm 100%
sure. Oh, really?
Because he's the kind of person who would, like, correct you in the middle of, like, an impassioned speech. Like, he can't, you know, it's like... like, impulsive. Like,
that
if you were saying, like... And I guess I feel like when Grandma died, you know, me and her hadn't talked that well. He'd be like... She and I, like, he wouldn't
wow.
be like, yeah, there's a little,
wow.
I mean, not to that,
right.
maybe not.
He's
that's
a,
great,
he's a,
it's just
he was an English teacher.
Yeah. For 25 years.
Okay.
So that stuff is just hardwired.
Did he ask you to footnote your speeches?
He probably would be, I had to give a speech for him recently, for this thing that he was like awarded or whatever in Tucson. And I wrote the speech, and then my dad loved the speech. And so he asked me for a copy of the speech, but then I agonized over.
And he took a red pen to it.
Yeah, right. Now it's in print. So I have to make sure it's like perfect. And so I put time into that I absolutely did not have just
oh my
to
God.
Like super carefully edited.
That's hilarious.
And, yeah.
No, that's really funny.
But were you worried about like pleasing your parents too as a sensitive child? And where did you, and let's, I guess we should get into some context too when I ask those questions.
I was, and still have the, like, I wouldn't say I'm a perfectionist, but I need to do everything right. Like, I'm very self-critical, and I always have been about getting things right. or like, oh, I screwed up. I'm not good at just letting myself off the hook being like, what the fuck? It's all right. You know, who cares? Yeah. Like, so, I mean, I've gotten better, certainly, but I was very stressed out little kid.
And did you feel like that came from somewhere, or was it like just part of your genes?
So I think it probably was my genes, but I also think, I was going through a, like, should I make a genes joke? And then I rejected it, and I really shouldn't have even mentioned that I was going to do a jeans joke. The jeans would have been hand-me-downs from my brother that were too big, and boy jeans. Anyway, so stupid. So I think it was the sort of thing where, like, my parents were fighting all the time. My brother was troubled, and he was the one who was, like, I guess more of the screw-up. He really wasn't a screw-up, but, like, so my role I took on was that I was perfect. So, and my parents did not put pressure on me in that way. And they would, I remember in real time, they would say to me, like, we don't do this to you. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And of course, they didn't have an answer. But I think I was just like, well, that's what I have control over. You know, some people become anorexic because that's how they have exercised their control. They feel like the whole world is spinning. So, you know, the thing they can control is their food intake. So I think it was just like, well, this is my role. I'm the perfect child. I get straight A's. I don't do anything wrong. So,
and you, like you said, if your parents were fighting a bunch and your brother had sort of taken on the role of being more vocal about whatever was going on with him and his feelings, yeah, it also feels like it's pretty natural for, like, even if it's just one member in the family to try to be the peacekeeper in some way.
Total.
Whether that's, like,
right,
staying hidden by being perfect or actually trying to mediate
or whatever. Yeah.
Being the funny one, you know what I mean?
I was that, too. I was the funny one, and I was the... I also felt like, from a very early age, like, I'm the only one who understands this family's dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like I was... While I was within it, I also felt like I was sort of looking... Not to be too, like, grandiose in my analysis here, but just that I was kind of like, oh, I get what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you're doing, and this is what you're doing, and this is what I'm doing, and I even know it, but I can't stop it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
But that makes sense, too. That goes part and parcel. It's not grandiose because it goes part and parcel with that, like, the way you try to exercise control is also, like, the analysis, right? Because I totally get that, too. It's like, if I can just look at this with my brain, somehow I'll be able to work through my feelings about it.
Right.
And sometimes that works, and sometimes you have to surrender a little bit more, but...
Right. It took me a long time to sort of learn to not be perfect. And I'm certainly not perfect in... almost anything, but I do still beat myself up a lot, like, especially with parenting. Boy, oh boy, is that a minefield for someone like me. It's just like, oh, I'm doing this wrong. And I also think I do a lot of things great as a parent.
Good.
Like, I can recognize that. But boy, oh boy, if he has a bad day, then I'm like, fuck, I've been doing something wrong. You know, I just like, it's hard not to beat myself up.
I remember that coming from my dad a lot too, which makes you like wonder if, like, how that affects a child. Cause I don't feel like my dad definitely, I remember times when, like, we would have a huge blowout because he, I'm sure, was so stressed from the divorce and stuff and, like, whatever. And, like, there were so many times where he would, like, get really sad at the end and be like, I feel like I'm totally failing as a dad, which probably you shouldn't say to your child. Like, no, all,
don't show
all
your cards to
my
kid.
Dad.
Right.
But because he was, like, raising me kind of alone at that point and there was just him and me. I feel like that was his, and I feel like I would do the same thing. I would try to extend that olive branch as a way to, like, heal.
And
you're becoming
the parent, too,
because you're consoling
your dad,
right?
And I don't want to do that to my son because I for sure did that with my parents. Like, tried to. I mean, the big joke in our family is that, like, whenever my brother or I had a problem, which was often, you know, my dad's way of making us feel better was to tell us how shitty his childhood was, you know, like, not in, like, you think you had it bad, listen to me, but in a, like, empathizing, as if we're on the same level. And that's not what you want to hear as a kid. You want to hear it's going to get better. You don't want to hear, well, you come from a long line of depressed, fucked up people, and good luck to you. You know, that was sort of how we took it. So it was like super not helpful.
And your dad was not born in the United States.
Oh yeah, he was.
He was?
Yeah.
He was?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I don't know why I thought that he wasn't.
You thought he was born in Russia or something?
I guess.
No, he was born here. He was born in Chicago, actually, and grew up in New York.
I don't know why I thought that you were like first generation American.
It's probably just because I'm so ethnic looking. I'm more ethnic looking than my parents.
That's it.
Which always was a fun thing growing up.
That's definitely it.
No. He was born here.
Okay.
Yeah.
He just did a really great accent.
He just did a really good accent on Star Trek. But actually, apparently he didn't do a great accent, but we always thought he did. I always thought he did, but he's been told that no, he didn't.
We just assume, you take everything at face value when you're younger, for sure, but yeah, I just never.
But his parents spoke Russian.
Okay.
I mean, you know, he was first generation.
Okay. So I just got it on one generation. You just
one generation off. Who cares?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And so he still had like, he had it rough enough that he needed you to know that he had it rough so that you didn't feel like.
Yes. So that, you know, like I think my dad's sort of thing was that he was trying to relate to me as a friend. And I guess a lot of moms do that with their daughters. My mom and I did not have that relationship. But I kind of guess I did with my dad. Like he was my friend. And I guess that was good in a sense, but I think it just also maybe brought me down a little bit. Like, you know, like, aren't you supposed to be the authority figure? And you're kind of like, he really was more my friend, I guess, than it's definitely not all bad. I mean,
so your mom was more the disciplinarian of the family?
No, I honestly didn't require a lot of discipline.
You were self-disciplined.
I was very self-disciplined. And also I was in ballet since I was five. So I went to ballet class, you know, 5 or 6 times a week.
And did you love it? Did you feel passionate about it? Was it hard?
I think I felt passionate about it. I wasn't as good as I needed to be, which was another very difficult self-imposed thing. Yeah. Like, maybe you should quit and pursue something else. But like, I just kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. And I worked hard. I just wasn't good enough. And
it's hard when that's just like an imperial fact. Like, there are just some things about physical
limitations
and, you know, stuff that like, it doesn't matter how hard you work, you just may not be able to do that thing.
And that's why
it's really
hard
to understand that. And that's why it's so.
And that's why it drives me crazy when I hear people say, you can be anything you want to be. It really drives me crazy. I think it's not fair. I don't think everyone can be the president of the United States. I don't think everyone can be a prima ballerina.
Yeah.
Like, you have to find what you're good at.
That's maybe a better, different way of saying it. It's like, you don't have to be anything. And you don't have to put the expectation on yourself that you can be anything.
Right.
You should just find what you said. Find what really makes you happy.
Yeah.
That you're excited about shining in.
Yes. I mean, my social life was ballet, as sad as that is. All my friends were from ballet. Or not all of them, but, you know, two of my best friends I danced with when I was 5 and 6 years old, who are still my best friends. And I wanted to be good and I enjoyed it. I must have enjoyed it to some extent, but it was a lot of frustration and disappointment. It was just like a lot of like extra tears that probably didn't need to be, you know, there.
That just seems like it's such an added amount of, I just didn't have anything like that when I was that age. I didn't have anything that like, I was constantly checking in with and being measured against other people or just empirical
and
value.
And you're seeing it yourself. And it's also your body. You know, that's another thing. You have to constantly look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And I was never, I mean, as a kid, I was always very skinny.
Yeah.
So that wasn't really a thing. But it's more like seeing, your feet aren't really looking the right way. And I'm trying to look like that, but I know I don't. It's not like I'm delusional. Like, that's why I always am shocked by like American Idol and shows like that, where it's like, aren't these people self-critical? Like, I don't understand how you cannot know your, I mean, I guess maybe your voice is different because you're not seeing it in a mirror. But I'm like, how do you not know your limitations? It's just, I mean, one would say a lot of people have succeeded by not knowing their limitations.
Yeah.
Despite their maybe lack of talent.
Yeah.
So it can work for sure.
Yeah.
Not in something like ballet, but in acting or singing, you know, people get away with a lot of subpar.
Yeah, confidence goes a long way.
Confidence goes a long way.
Confidence goes a really long way. I think I do feel envious. I mean, I'm sure I've said it on the podcast before how envious I feel of people who are just like
innately confident.
I guess I'll just be successful at this.
Yeah.
And then you just went, and then you just were.
Right.
I don't understand. What does that feel like? How does that feel? Right.
Well, I always look at people like that and I'm like, well, so you're either going to be complete failure or you're going to be more successful than any of the rest of us because you have some sort of blind faith in yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe based on nothing.
Well, this brings me back to Oliver for a second, which is, does he feel, is he, I mean, I know you talked about like maybe having a little bit less awareness of like, you know, worrying about what other people think of him, but is he,
yeah.
does he seem to have like, is he criticized, is he critical of himself or is he like, does he have like self-confidence and self-love?
I think he has a lot
as much as you can in that way. For
yeah. He'll have sometimes misplaced confidence where he'll be like, I already know how to play the guitar. Like, Oliver, do you want to take guitar lessons? I know how to play the guitar. He has zero knowledge of how to play the guitar. He can pick it up and strum.
Uh-huh.
So he thinks he knows it. Or that's like, amazing. He took chess class last year. I'm like, oh, do you want to take chess again? No, I already know how to play. I'm already great. I mean, he beats us, but...
Oh, wow.
That's just because we're idiots. That doesn't mean he's good necessarily.
That's so cool.
But like, there is a sort of like hilarious like, oh yeah, I'm just good at that. But then like yesterday he had a carnival at school and they had to sing and I, on the way home, it was like a whole festival. So it was really fun. And on the way home, I was like, you know, I really enjoyed your song. I thought that was so much fun. They sang it as a class. It wasn't. And he said, I had stage fright and I wasn't good and I messed up. I was like, you didn't mess it up at all. What are you talking about?
Hmm.
And then I thought maybe he was doing it for attention, like trying to make me feel bad for him because uh-huh. he does that sometimes. And then we watched it and we were like, you're great. Like, what are you talking about? He knew he was fine. He just, okay, I don't know. But he's mostly confident. I mean, I'm sure there's some, all kids have some sort of insecurity. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, sometimes I think he puts on a bravado. It's kind of funny. He's like puts on a little macho so bravado cute. Thing
yeah.
to sort of cover it. But, and he's already knows the power of humor and he's already like on his way to being obnoxious and or funny. I'm not sure which yet, but no, he's really funny. He's really funny.
We were trying so hard to remember the last time I did the podcast, not podcast-a-thon, but the last time I did the podcast, I couldn't remember the thing that I loved so much from when he was really little.
Uh-huh.
And then we remembered it, I think, after we did the podcast, which was how much I loved that just when that Jimmy and you were like, do you know what a joke is?
Right. Funny words.
So great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like that was so telling. Like, oh,
I know.
He's going to be fine.
Oh, he is. He's funny and he gets it. And, you know, if he doesn't get it, he'll tell me he doesn't get it usually. Or he'll laugh and he'll look at me and I'm like, do you know why that was funny? No. And so I'll explain it to him. But yeah, he's pretty hilarious.
Oh, sorry. So I should go back and say that. So this, the ballet and stuff, all of that was taking place here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I grew up here.
Grew up? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the valley.
Yeah. North Hollywood I grew up in.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And your dad is Walter Koenig. He was Chekhov on Star Trek.
Yes.
For anybody who doesn't already know that.
Right.
How much... So, in addition to... Like, let's jump ahead to what your family dynamic was like when you kind of got into adolescence and, like, where
right.
your head was and what you were into. And
so...
Because I know Andrew was 4 years older than you, so he was sort of not.
Yeah, like as much in. Maybe in by the time I was in high school, my brother lived in Canada. So I kind of like, as I was telling you earlier, kind of like became an only child all of a sudden because I was the only one there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just a really stressed out teenager. I would cry every Sunday night in junior high. Like, I didn't want to go to school. And it wasn't like I was picked on or honestly, it wasn't like I was bullied. I just wasn't happy. I had zero boy attention. So I guess that was really most of it now that I think of it.
And that's fair.
Yeah.
Especially that age to be, you know, upset about that.
And- yeah. So my mom would be like, well, you don't have to go to school tomorrow. And I'd be like, that doesn't help anything. You don't understand. Then I'll fall behind. And then like, so I was so stressed out that I was like, I can't not go to school. You're so irresponsible.
Like, yeah. It is amazing that she was just like, well, listen, I don't like to see
you sad. I think it was just like every once in a while. I don't think she, my mom was always jokes that she like wanted me to play hooky or something. And I was just so self-disciplined and like, you know, largely I think from ballet and my own personality.
Mm-hmm.
So, I joke about this, but it's true. I used to do my lunch during my homework during lunch at school so that I could. But honestly, it's not that. I did it so that because I always had ballet after school.
Got it.
So that after school, I'd go to ballet. And then when I came home at night, I could watch sitcoms. So I didn't have to do homework. So there was, you know.
You figured out the structure that worked.
I figured out the structure that worked for me. And it wasn't like I did it all the time, but I know I did it sometimes. Or I would do homework from other classes in that class, you know, because I knew what was going on or whatever.
But still, yeah, it was definitely important enough to you to make sure you got the homework done.
Yeah, I needed free time. So, which is so funny because Oliver already has homework in first grade. And we have to separate it by like, let's do this and then we'll have a break and let's do this. And I'm like, don't you just want to get it all over with? Like,
yeah.
But he doesn't subscribe to that notion. But so anyway, I was just miserable. I was just very ugly as a kid and I had no confidence. And it was just hard. And I acted a little bit. I did a little bit of television acting. So that was always nice. But it was very – I wasn't like – an actor kid. Like it was few and far between.
Yeah.
And my brother was on a sitcom. He was on Growing Pains. So I felt like, where's my success? You know, kind of like I was jealous.
Yeah.
And I remember like some girl who wasn't really my friend, who was like a popular girl, saying something like, how's your brother? And I said, fine, how's yours? Because I was like, why? You don't even know me. You don't even care. You're just like, my brother's on a TV show.
Yeah.
But were
you around other kids? Like, I mean, I guess I'm just wondering because of this town, were you at a school where at least other, like, you know what I'm saying? Were you the only, were you unique in the experience of having like this brother who was on the successful show?
Yeah. Or, I mean, I don't remember anyone else who.
So it wasn't like Hollywood High where like everybody, you know what I mean?
No,
like,
I mean,
every
there was
other person is on a thing.
No, there was another girl my age who we would go up against each other for things, which was weird because she was popular in school and I wasn't. So we'd see each other at the audition after school, be like, hi, you know, like we knew each other. I mean, we were friendly, but she was a popular kid and I was not a popular kid. So it was sort of awkward and like, it's just such a weird thing. You already feel so insecure about your looks and then you go on auditions as a child and every girl there was perfect looking with like nice smooth hair and like, you know, looked together and I was a disaster with my thick black eyebrows and it was just like, why put yourself there?
Why parents are like, ugh, I do not want my child.
No, I'm the same way. And my parents didn't push me. It was something I wanted to do. But again, why did I want to do that? Like it was, because I guess it was rewarding when I did get the occasional. I always joke that, you know, I always played the ugly best friend. And then on, I was on this show called Life Goes On. And I was on twice as two different characters playing two different ugly best friends. Oh, no. That's how good of an actor I was.
Oh, so, that is rough. Yeah. By the way, Danielle is beautiful. It's hilarious,
you're very kind.
But
it was rough. I mean, it was not all in my head.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way.
Yeah. But interesting that like because it didn't necessarily. Like, was the feeling that like Andrew was so delighted with his experience being on television that felt like appealing to you or was it, were you?
No,
able to kind
he
of
was,
see
he
that
was
he
a malcontent. So
it.
He, you know, he thought it was a shitty sitcom and like wanted to do better things. You know, he's all of 17 or 18 or something. No, but to me it was success, you know, and it didn't really.
And everyone else around you that isn't him is also saying like, it's that success. That's success.
Right. And my mother was not successful as an actor. She tried to be and still tries to be and never found success. So I think I was just terrified to death that that's what I would become. Yeah. And you know, and she was resentful of my dad and his success. And my dad never felt like he had enough success because Star Trek was a double-edged sword. And so there was just like a lot of discontent in my family. You think I would have gone running the opposite way into like mathematics or something more concrete.
That is interesting. That's a really good point.
Yeah. But that's what I knew. You know, I knew acting and I knew ballet. I mean, I don't know why. My mom just put me into ballet class when I was 5 and it just stuck, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just, that's what I knew, you know?
Yeah. But when did you start getting into kind of the writing side of things? Because that is, while
right.
very stressful in its own right, it's at least a little less such all the stuff that you were talking about.
Oh, which is you know what?
Like, it's right. It's on me. It's in me. It's yeah. me. You know what I mean? At least it's writing has like the effect right. of I made this, but now I can put right. it over here for you to criticize rather than like standing in yeah, front of you with you.
No, that's actually a very excellent point. Well, I was... as stressed out and like weird of a kid I was always funny and I knew I was funny and like that was my thing, you know, like I don't get boys, boys don't like me, but I can make them laugh, you know, I sound like a boy, but that's really right. what my existence was, you know, like, so,
but it's so interesting, right? The ballet, because I think of myself as having this kind of boyish energy also, mm-hmm. but for me, part of that would have been like, well, I can't do ballet.
I can't explain to you that dichotomy. It's so weird to me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't dress particularly girly. I felt like it would be a sham if I tried to be, I'm talking about in grade school. Like,
yeah.
if I tried to be girly, I would feel ridiculous
yeah.
because I wasn't viewed that way. So I didn't want to like push myself on people. So like I wore my brother's hand-me-downs and, my hair was never combed. Like, it was just a mess. So, and then in junior high, I started wearing full-length prairie skirts.
Bless.
And straw hats with, like, a ribbon around them.
Oh.
Like, Little House on the Prairie.
Sure.
I went a whole other way. I was yes. like, I'm girly. I'm not sexy in any yeah. way. But I'm, this is my feminine. It was the weirdest, okay. rebellious. I mean, I'm sure everyone thought I was bananas.
Yeah.
But although I had one friend who kind of dressed like me. Oh, I didn't wear that every day, but I had.
Say it sounds quite charming.
I mean, oh, I had at least three long skirts.
Yeah.
Like prairie skirts.
Skirt. Yeah, I think I did too. I definitely had a couple of straw hats with a ribbon around.
Oh,
and I didn't even watch Little House on the Prairie. I don't know where that came from.
No, I didn't either. Well, that was the Christian show, and I always felt guilty if I saw it at my friend's house. Like,
did you really?
Yes, because there was no God in my house. And my dad's an atheist and my mom would always be like, well, it's whatever you think it is. Yeah. Like really annoying answers like that, which I'm sure I will give to my son soon, as soon as he asks me.
In that voice.
Yeah. Oh, honey, it's whatever you.
It might have been that voice that makes it annoying.
Like, oh, okay, I'm an atheist. But so I remember I came home one time from my next door neighbors. This was when I was very young, who were Christian, like Christian. And I came home singing some Christian song or something. And my dad was like, what are you singing? And I was like, I don't know. You know, like I got in trouble or something. And then, so yeah, so both of my best friends were, I mean, they weren't really religious, but they weren't Jewish and they weren't atheists. They were, you know, some sort of Christianity.
Yeah.
And so I would watch Little House on the Prairie with them. But I really felt weird about it because they would talk about God and there was a church and there was a reverend or whatever that old dude was.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, this is outside my zone.
Amazing.
Isn't that funny?
Little House on the Prairie
that was my
was
rebellious
like
show.
Contraband.
Yeah.
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 That's
isn't that so funny? It's like amazing. My South Park, yeah. but it was Little House on the Prairie because they talked about God.
Perfect.
I know. But yeah, so I never watched it at home. But
So junior high, long prairie skirts. What did you dress like when you were in high school?
So in high school, I went to an arts high school.
Okay.
So I was like the most conservative because it was such a liberal, crazy school. The mm-hmm. people, you know, guys in dresses and, you know, all sorts of craziness. So
that's exciting to me still, though, it was happening then.
It was such a savior for me.
Was it like, in the Valley also?
No, it's called LOXA, LA County High School for the Arts, and it's on the campus of Cal State LA. So okay. it was actually a long drive. So that was again like,
where's Cal State LA?
So if you take the 10 out east and then like the 5 or something, I don't know. Oh, it's wow. it's quite it's like
so it's like further than USC and all that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. Like from my house in the Valley, it was like a 40-minute drive each way. The school day was an hour longer than normal school. So I would like get home at 5 and then go to ballet class like oof. At 6 or something. So yeah. it was pretty.
Are you still doing your homework at lunch?
I didn't nice do my homework at yeah. lunch. I think I did. I think that's when I did it in other classes.
Or was it also, is the curriculum like super different because it's an art school or was it like pretty the same?
But it
you could just be a guy and wear
the
a dress?
The academics were not intense.
Yeah.
So a lot of kids didn't care about academics. I did. And I, you know, got my straight A's and did all that. So, I mean, I took AP classes. So I guess they were as intense as whatever. Yeah. It just wasn't the same sort of emphasis. But we had all our academic classes in the morning, and then we'd have lunch, and then we'd have arts classes in the afternoon.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I was in theater. You could only pick one discipline. So I wanted to do dance and theater, but I couldn't. So I just did theater, and then I took ballet after class, after school. So what was your question?
Oh, I was asking what your style was. I was getting real superficial.
So no, it's not. It's pretty telling. I did a lot of like penny loafers, or I had like outfits, neat, like tailored, I think. I don't know. I remember this one felt mini red skirt or mini skirt that was red, that was tight, but then had a little ruffle. And then I wore a white turtleneck with it. And it had like a strap that went across it or something. Uh-huh. And then I wore my hair in a ponytail that I made into like a bun and then put a ribbon around it. It was like a 60s kind of.
Okay.
It was just, I don't know what I was doing. It was very 90s. Now, instead of straw hats, yeah, I was wearing like caps, like black caps, mm-hmm, that I also somehow put a ribbon around.
Like a beret, like a felt structured
like a
beret.
Newsboy hat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It was very 90s.
Yeah.
It was very 90s. I'm older than you.
And
it was
penny loafers.
Yeah. I don't know. I was sort of conservative, but in my own like hip, what I thought was a cool way.
Yeah. And still no boys.
Still no boys. I
mean, even with what you just described.
I mean, really, like it's pretty fetching. Great. It's pretty fetching.
I mean, it was a mini skirt.
Also, this was the other outfit of choice. Leggings. This is the first time leggings were in. Leggings with like a hoodie sweatshirt, mm-hmm, over it, and okay, boots.
Yep. That sounds like it's still what people wear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you ever wear men's boxers to school with like long johns underneath?
No. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I was not that kid.
I'm surprised. I look back and I'm like, wow, that was for sure something I did.
Maybe I did earlier. It seems
like I remember going to J. Crew and like perusing the men's boxers and being like, these boxers with whales would be good shorts for me to wear long johns under.
It's ringing a bell now. It may have done that in junior high.
Yeah.
It is now ringing a bell. I could see that with like a Henley or something.
Well, now that I think about it, it's not really. The long johns, I think, are what like,
I do remember
it for me.
I do
now
remember.
I think about it, I'm like, actually, they do have really cute men's boxers. If you got like a size that was like a couple sizes too big, it's almost like you're wearing a little patterned skirt or like a skirt. And then you just wear some tights.
I'm going to ask my friend Chantal because that does seem like something I wore now.
But
that
you're
I think about
definitely
it.
Wearing men's underwear to school.
For
like,
sure.
That's for sure happening. Yeah. In all its forms. Long underwear.
Right.
Boxers.
Yeah. Jock strap. Told you I was very boyish.
Obviously a jock strap. That goes without saying.
Yeah. So I kissed a boy for the first time in high school, and he was a year younger than me. And I was like, oh, of course. Like the first time I kiss a guy, he's younger than me. And I was not attracted to him. So I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I was always attracted to the boys who weren't attracted to me, which was basically all the boys. Uh-huh. But
how did this one end up getting to kiss you?
He was funny, and we went to Disneyland on a date or something. And then he...
Funny helps.
He was, but he was like goofy funny, like really, really goofy. And he was blonde. And I just don't... I've just never been attracted to blonde guys. So okay, it was just not going to work.
All right. And I'm trying to think if that's something that I would separate, like distinguish for myself, but I can't remember.
I can't think about it.
Yeah. I guess most of the guys I've dated have been brunette.
Yeah. Well, most guys are... You know, it's just the weird freak ones occasionally who don't have enough melanin or whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I was just like, I just like wasn't into him. And I'm like, of course, the first time a boy likes me and I'm not into him. Or like in junior high, occasionally, like this kid, you know, called me up and sang me That's Amore over the phone. You know, occasionally weird things would happen like that. But like always the nerdiest, geekiest guy.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, of course it's you. And then... And then there was a semi-cool kind of guy who also, he had a crush on me, which was weird. And then I kissed him and I just wasn't into it either. I just wasn't into the guys who were into me. Mm-hmm. So I was just sort of at a loss.
Did you have crushes on like, because I am going to segue this into MASH at some point. Oh, because you The episode that you listened to, I wasn't doing MASH yet because it was pretty early on in my podcasting days. But you were going to be subjected in just a couple of minutes.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Old school MASH. Like, did you play this where like I give you a category and you give me like three choices?
No.
And then we like eliminate. Oh yeah, well this is gonna be a whole thing.
Is MASH Mansion
apartment shack?
Yes. Yes. I remember this vaguely from grade school.
Yeah.
But I don't
definitely gonna play it.
Okay, I'm excited.
So my question is, did you have like were there, you know, pictures on your wall? Or was there something does that translate? Like, you know, I'm thinking about friends of mine who had pictures of Kirk Cameron on their wall.
Yeah.
Because that was their ideal boyfriend.
Right. I would never have done that.
And it was a fantasy.
Right.
But like here, your brother was like on a show. Did that sort of ground things in reality that makes you not have the same kinds of crushes? Or do you still have them?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I had a crush on Michael J. Fox and stuff like that. But I would never have put posters on my wall. I would have found that way too dorky. And and embarrassing. Uh-huh. I would have been embarrassed for my parents to see. I would have been like, oh, they don't need to know I have feelings about boy. Like, I was just really uncomfortable with that whole notion.
Interesting.
My friend and I used to joke about, like, I'm not going to walk through the house with a razor if my dad's around. Like, he doesn't need to know I shave my legs. Like, it's just, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I had a crush on a boy for, like, 3 years. He was just didn't reciprocate, except after school, when I was done with high school.
Yeah.
And then he reciprocated and it was too late. Sorry, my life.
Too late.
But I just was an odd duck, you know. I just had no confidence. And then like the guys, I sent you a picture of me at prom. You know, that guy asked me to prom. Here's who asked me to prom. Okay. That guy who was like, I literally had to talk him out of wearing a blue tuxedo.
Oh, yeah.
In 1990. In 1991, it's not like this was the 70s.
Right.
I mean, there was no reason why.
Did he think that he was being cheeky? Like no, fun, ducky, sort of pretty in pink kind of stuff?
I don't think so. I think he was just kind of like white trashy and didn't know. And then this other guy who was gay asked me out. And then after I had accepted the white trashy guy, I feel like I shouldn't say the word white trashy, I guess. After I accepted from him, then the guy I had a crush on who had already graduated asked me. And I was like, well, I can't go with you. I already said yes to this other guy. And I was like devastated. But again, story of my life, like complete story of my life.
Yeah.
So years later, someone said, okay, so this guy who had asked me out, the gay guy who asked me out, was named Paco. Don't know. So years later, someone said, oh, you know, Paco came out of the closet. And I was like, Paco was in the closet? Like, I literally had no idea. I thought it was just he was gay and a gay guy asked me to prom.
Yeah.
Oh, no. A gay guy trying to not be gay was asking me out to prom.
Okay.
So that was like, oh, great. Okay. So, I mean, I literally didn't even know it was an issue because when I went to an arts high school, a lot of kids were gay.
Sure.
So it was hysterical. I was like,
Wow.
You
would have been his beard without even knowing.
I didn't know.
Beard.
I thought,
Yeah.
So.
Bless.
And then a guy younger than me. Oh, another guy younger than me asked me out. And I was like, you can't ask me out. It's not your prom. You're a junior.
Always the wrong guy. All right. Let's start with MASH. I'm going to get into MASH because we're getting close to the hour mark. And I want to make sure I get some of this in. And so I'm going to start very traditionally with, there may not be a husband out there that I adore more than yours.
Yes.
All due respect to him.
Yes.
All due respect to him. You can answer this question as the teenage version of yourself.
Okay.
You can answer it as the right now version of yourself. Some combination thereof.
Okay.
You are limited to nothing. If you tell me that you want Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story to be your husband, your fake husband.
Right.
Or your lover or whatever. I can't say that word.
It's the worst word ever.
It's maybe the worst word ever. Or if it's like young Clint Eastwood or whatever, you're limited by nothing.
Okay.
So three romantic choices.
That I'm listing by alphabetical order. Is this M-A-S-H?
This is just, basically, this is what happens at the end is I do a little like thing where we do a process of elimination. So it's like, oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, cross out. One, two, three, four,
five. Okay, so it has nothing to do with letters.
So you're going to end up with one of these guys.
Okay, so these are guys that I have had or do have crushes on.
Any three you'd be happy to.
Famous people, obviously. I'm not going to name like.
It's more fun. I would say it's more fun than someone.
Like a friend's husband or something. Okay.
That might be really
well,
fun, actually.
Well, I've always coveted. All right, so my choices are going to be super weird, just so you know.
Listen, we've had some great weird choices. Someone has chosen Tim Curry from Rocky Horror Picture Show. So,
I get that.
Yeah,
I get that.
I do, too. So there's no wrong answer.
Okay, so it's not like it's current, but in my earlier days, my ideal man, it's going to freak you out a little bit.
You don't know that.
Ray Liotta.
Great. Someone has already answered Ray Liotta.
Seriously? Who?
Alone. It was very recent. So maybe. Oh, it was one of the girls from Mortified. I think it was. Yeah, I think it was Hilda from Mortified.
Unbelievable.
She named Jeremy Irons, Ray Liotta, and another person that fits right
another
in there.
Another creepy psychopath?
Yep.
Okay. Hilarious. I don't even know if these are my top three. These are just people who come to mind.
Sure.
This one's a little ridiculous as well. It's more than a little ridiculous. Mark Wahlberg.
Great.
Marky Mark.
Great.
I'm
very, very pleased with your answers.
Thank you. And I do have a type. Okay, here's just one from childhood.
Great.
Here's just one from childhood. But the young version, not the current version.
Yes.
John Travolta.
Great.
How about John Travolta?
Great.
Grease. I acted out Grease with my next door neighbors, my Christian next door neighbors, every single day of my life.
Oh,
acted out the whole album.
Yeah. Danny Zuko. You could end up with Danny Zuko.
Oh.
You could end up with Danny Zuko. You may not end up with Danny Zuko. We'll have to see
how this
happens.
I'll be happy with any of those.
Yes. Jimmy is exactly like all of these guys.
Yeah, right? Isn't he?
Okay. Let's do, I'll stick with tradish. Let's do your second home. Your vacation home can be anywhere in the world.
Oh.
Where would you... Three places that you would love to have, like... And then we just flit it off to our blah, blah, blah. And don't worry if it's like... Listen, if you want a little place in Australia, don't think about the flight to get there. Let's
I'm not going to think about anything
saying.
Like that.
I'm saying this because you seem a very practical person. I want you to really stretch the limits
Mars.
Of your imagination. yeah. Someone just gave me shit because in my last episode, I was with Beth Littleford and I was like, someplace imaginary, like someplace like you could never have a thing like Mars. Like I guess I said Mars
really?
If Mars weren't real, which is not really what I was saying, but Steve AG emailed me yesterday and was like, you're an idiot, Mars is a real place. Anyway,
but you wouldn't live there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, AG.
Even if you could,
Jesus,
you have to get a contraption.
Need you criticizing my podcast.
Right.
I'm so honored that he listens to it, so never mind.
All right.
Yeah. So three places anywhere in the world.
Okay. I'm going to say I've never been there, but I'm going to say the Hamptons.
Great. Why not?
Because I watch Ina Garten, you know, the barefoot Contessa?
Uh-huh.
And that just seems like a life that
yeah,
I should have.
Somebody's talking about their time in the Hamptons. No one's complaining.
No one's complaining about that.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say that's one of the places.
Great.
I have no idea.
I think it's great.
Literally never been there.
It'll be fun
I'm
when you get to
that.
Like be blindfolded and then open your eyes at the sight of your new vacation
home. Yes.
Great.
Let's say Italy.
Great.
We went there for our honeymoon.
Where did you go in Italy?
We went to Rome. And the other two famous cities.
Like Florence and Venice?
Florence and Venice, thank
Great.
You.
Loved. I've never been to Rome, but I went to Florence, Venice. Loved, love, love.
Rome was my favorite.
I gotta go to Rome.
I don't think it's a place you need to live, but the history is just like, it's just, to me, it's unbelievable. Like, you're standing in a place that you've read about.
Yeah.
Like, since you were a child. That is just unbelievable.
Did you have the experience in Venice like I did, which I'm super ashamed of, which is you're there and you're like, I feel like I'm on a set. So sad that
it's
a real place
it
has
does
been like
feel like a set.
It's been it's been copied or like you know Vegas and like Disneyland.
Yeah, it's
and
a
all
Disneyland.
Those places.
Right, right.
You get there and you're like, there's no way this is just naturally how they built.
It's
this
bizarre.
City.
Yeah, which leads me to my third place.
Great,
Disney World. No,
Fantastic.
I'm joking.
No. Listen, I would get on board for that probably.
I've never been to Florida, and
Disney World. Yeah, I've never been to.
Yeah,
Disney
only
World.
Heard bad things. Not to offend any of your listeners.
You made a very loud sound just then.
Okay, third place. I'm going to pick another place I've never been.
Great.
No, that's way too cold. I can't go there. I can't go there. I'm going to say Ireland, but I'm sure it's freezing.
Oh, that sounds good, though.
I'm going to say Ireland.
Great.
I've never even thought about this, but...
Whenever I'm watching... This goes back to, like, this whole idea of what's in your genes versus what's your environment, but... And I've talked about it on the podcast before, but I do feel like... Because I have, like, a lot of Irish and Scottish, like, I do get that feel, like, which I think, you know what, maybe everyone does no matter what when they hear bagpipes and stuff, but I get, like, a weird, like, that thrill where I'm just like, oh, what's happening? I'm, like, really happy, right. Really sad, all at the
right,
same
right,
time.
Right, 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 right.
Like, it feels, like, important somehow.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've just heard it's so beautifully green and peaceful. It just seems very peaceful to me.
Yeah.
But then it also seems freezing, and I,
you know, you only go there at the time of year where it's pleasant.
Okay,
that's right. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that.
Wear Fair Isle sweaters.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever.
There you go. Yeah, Fair Isle sweaters. Yeah, yeah. Itchy. That's in immediately. That
well,
seems
I'm gonna
itchy.
Layer, so I'm not itchy.
Great.
I'm gonna wear
a
long sleeve.
Close to touching the skin. Not even close to touching the skin.
No, I need to be comfortable at all times.
Yeah, great.
I'm never gonna be itchy or cold.
No. What about three skills that you wish you could just sort of wake up tomorrow and be able to do?
Ooh,
like your son Oliver can. He can play guitar.
Oh, yeah. He can just play guitar.
Yeah.
That's a great one. It's got to be playing an instrument. So what instrument would I like to play? Piano.
Great.
I took piano lessons, but, you know, I wasn't so much into the practicing.
I'm assuming that Oliver will be left your parents' piano.
Oh, yeah, he will be. Of course, Oliver will get the baby grand.
That is a...
That's a quote from my mother.
Yeah, that's just a... That's you know what? You should be listening to Never Not Funny.
Yeah, the addendum.
Okay, so you can play the piano perfectly. Great.
Another... Oh. Make clothes.
Great.
If I could actually sew and put things together, I think that would be fabulously fun.
And enjoy it. Like,
and enjoy
like,
it. Yeah. I'm always like, impressed by people with practical skills.
Yeah.
Like I'm always
I am too
fascinated by people with practical skills.
Yeah.
Because I have none.
Yeah.
And then I guess the other would be well, that has to do with my real life, so that's probably no good. another skill that I could do.
Like a sport or like a I'm gonna go fantastical in the next category for
okay.
skills.
Okay, so let's just say cooking. Practical. Let's just say great. I wish I were a great cook that
You're
loved it.
Great cook, great. Give me three magical powers.
Okay. Oh, being able to be content. That's not a magical power.
You know
that's
what?
A real life. Never
Honestly,
mind.
Though, no, I'm putting it in there because. I think that
not
it is
second guessing everything I do is that
yeah no
power?
That's also a good one no but I think that's it sometimes it does feel that unattainable
it feels that unattainable
and it's yeah it's like in a way it is just an extension of another skill because it is learning how to sort of be that but if you woke up tomorrow and magically could just
yes
like
well I gotta say flight. Just because the traffic in Los Angeles is such a bear.
Sure. Isn't it, though?
It's such a bear.
It really is.
And how about... Also, it'd be great if I could bring Oliver with me. Because my son is so into superheroes. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, all we do is talk about superheroes. Like
I get it.
It's insane. It
really strikes a chord in all of us, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy. How about... How about speed?
Super speed.
Let's
love
do
it.
Super speed.
Love
yeah,
it.
Let's do it.
Love, love, love it. All right. Let's do... you were responsible for creating something that's like already in existence that's universally acknowledged as like really wonderful.
Oh, okay.
Three things that you're like, oh, did you know that
I
painted
created that?
Mona Lisa? Yeah.
Okay. So it could be
like a building, a work of art.
Okay. Oh, that's a good one. How about... well, my mind's going to different places here, so I'm
good. It's fine.
How about the The movie Modern Romance.
Oh,
I created
what
that.
A great okay. movie.
That's one of my favorite movies
fantastic.
Of all time.
Fantastic. You did a great job.
Thank you.
It reminds me a little bit of Albert Brooks.
Little bit. Well, people you know have said I mean? That I'm the yeah. West Coast.
Yes. Yes. Albert Brooks. Yes, I would say that as well.
Yes.
I would say that.
How about, those meters, the parking meters that you can put in a credit card and not money.
They really are lifesavers.
I really think that's the best invention of my lifetime.
Great answer.
I think
that's
my favorite
answer, but it's so
it is.
Accurate.
Because I never
also have. Also, it's a San Francisco answer also.
Do they have that in San Francisco?
Yeah, and it now parking is like 25 cents buys you 5 minutes, so you really need a credit card one. Otherwise, you're just feeding the meter all day. Yep.
But I mean, it's changed my whole approach to... I mean, it's just not stressful anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be such a stress.
It really did. That was a real thing. Like,
I have to go in that place and get change and hope I don't get a ticket in the time it takes me to get change. And they're not going to give me change. And I'm going to have to lie.
You've created something genius.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you.
And how about, this just came to mind. So I'm just going to say it. How about Homeland?
Great. Great. Very
addictive. The movie, not the concept. I mean, the TV show, not the
concept.
Very,
very addictive show.
No,
love it.
Notice I didn't pick anything important. I didn't pick a life-saving drug or microfinancing. I just,
I don't know what mine would have been, but they probably would have been even less useful than what you come up with.
Yeah.
Okay, how about three fictional, like parental figures? From movies or from even someone else's parent or like, you know, someone in a book.
Oh.
Michael Landon from Little House on the Prairie. Whatever.
Oh.
That's his name, right?
Yes.
But like three, you end up with one that's sort of like the kind of parent that you would always, it would be nice to just have that sort of like wise,
I've got one.
Comforting, great person.
I've got one. Stephen Keaton. From Family Ties.
Great.
Michael Gross.
Yeah, he's adorable.
He was the best. Let's see. Okay. Wow, this is tough.
Someone recently said, and I think that they're not wrong, might have even been, I don't know, I haven't done this category too recently, but maybe I did. Or like some version of it where it's just like your best friend or whatever. Like almost most of the characters Meryl Streep plays, like there's just when someone brings that warmth where you just feel like there's that person that's like, you know what? Somehow they're gonna make me feel like everything's gonna
be
okay.
Kramer versus Kramer.
But not Kramer versus
that's
Kramer.
That's just
probably not the Devil Wears Prada. Probably
right.
Not.
Right. Okay. Let me say, I just had one. And then this is stupid, but she just always seems so calm. Shirley Jones in the Partridge Family.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Shirley. What's her name? Her name must have been Shirley Partridge, right?
I guess it was. Did they mostly have their first?
It just seems like she was such a big star that her name would have been Shirley, but I could be wrong.
We definitely know who we're talking about, though, for sure.
And I'm trying to see. Can I go older? Can I find something from the 20s?
No, but it's good because you're thinking about stuff that, I mean, those both make sense because you're thinking about people who are iconic in that way when you kind of maybe needed it more.
Yeah, super calm and like fun.
Yeah. I totally get that.
Okay. I was going to say, but she was a terrible mother, so that doesn't really make sense. I was going to say,
like a character?
Going to say Cher and, but it doesn't make any sense. The movie with Winona Ryder.
Oh, Mermaids.
Mermaids.
I still kind of get
it. But she was sort of fun, right?
Yeah.
She was really
she was
irresponsible.
Very fun, yeah.
So we'll say Cher and Mermaids. That's a totally different way to go.
That's a good answer because that's like the wild card one.
Yeah.
You got a weird wild card.
Right.
One. How about, three, I'm going with an old staple, an old standard here, because I'm always interested in the answer. Three foods that you can access whenever you want with no ramifications. Like, could mean...
Oh, that I wouldn't gain weight?
You wouldn't gain weight, or, you know, you're allergic to it, but you can't have it anymore.
I see.
Or
yeah.
It's just, like, something that you can hardly ever find. You want to get a great caramel apple, but you can't find anyone who has one. Or there's some pasta you had in Rome that you
wish
you could eat every day.
I was going to say, the first thing that came to mind was spaghetti, like, angel hair pasta with aglio olio. Is that what it's called? When it's like garlic and oil. Mm-hmm. That's what I would pick.
Great.
If I could eat that every day, I would. If it, there were, you know, no ramifications.
Yeah. Okay. And I just need two more like that.
Chocolate mousse.
Great. Oh, that's right. With the chocolate. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm a little bit.
Great. Great.
And what is something I wish I could? I guess just, you know. Oh, Baroni's pizza.
Oh, great.
Do you know Baroni's?
I don't, but I've heard. I mean, I haven't, but I've heard
it's, it. It's the best
I've
ever.
Heard it beloved.
Yeah.
In the past. Okay, great. And then.
Notice how the food was the easiest one for me to come up with. Everything else I struggled with.
Oh, please. Why did I ask the question? I could talk about food all the time. All right. This is the last one. I don't know if this is going to be a successful question or not, because you might be like, oh, no. I have no interest in this at all.
Okay.
But because I know you can't ever have pets.
Yes.
What are three pets that could be as fantastic and ridiculous as you want, or as like grounded as you want? It could be like, I wish I could get a hamster for Oliver.
Okay.
Or it could be like, I wish I had a unicorn.
Okay.
Three.
A lion.
Fantastic.
They just seem so snuggly.
Yep.
A giant. This is what I've always wanted. A giant old English sheepdog that will knock you down when you come into the house with love. That's what I really want.
Adorable.
And, well, you got to go panda, don't you?
I think you probably
do. You have
do.
To go panda. I just want something adorable. I love animals. I just can't have them.
Yeah. Jimmy is allergic. That's the,
my husband is severely
that, like,
allergic to all animals.
There's no religious reason or anything. It's just a, no. an allergy situation.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to do this little thing that like determines the number that I use for process of elimination.
Okay.
So I just need you to tell me when to stop.
Am I supposed to do something now?
Yeah. Just like tell me when you want me to stop.
Stop.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so I have 8. So I'm pausing this.
Okay.
Do this, I'm tallying it up.
Okay.
Then the results. Okay. Then we're done with the podcast.
Okay.
That's how this is going to work.
Okay.
It will seem as if no time has passed.
Okay.
So what we just experienced was, for some reason, me reading these match results and then something going wrong with GarageBand. So, like, we lost about 5 minutes.
The answers were so explosive.
Results, and I don't want Danielle to have to act like she doesn't know what the results are. So this is really more of us communicating to you as a pair
what
the outcome
what it
of
ended
the match
up
game
with.
Was, because that just seems a little more honest.
All good stuff, by the way.
So I'll let you, what's the first thing that you remember that I told you about? For your new future.
First one was that I can sew and make clothes.
Wonderful seamstress.
Yes, I'm a wonderful seamstress who can fly.
And you can also fly.
Yes.
We determined that you were going to make and deliver clothes via your flight.
Yes.
And then you said that you wanted to collect your $1 million, which I am so like old school that in my mind I thought, how is she going to carry $1 million back? Because I was imagining like
fanny
suitcases
pack.
Full of money.
Fanny pack.
Instead of just a check.
Check. I
like
think
to
a check.
Me, that's people get paid, I guess, in cash now.
I think these I think these wealthy New Yorkers or whoever I'm flying to,
they do
I think
cash.
They'll have a check. Or
they
a credit card.
Have,
maybe I'll have,
probably have a check.
Maybe I'll have a red box. Is that what no, what is it called?
I don't know. What is that?
Red square. Square?
Square? Where you
square. There's no red in it.
Something on your...
Yeah, I'm gonna have a square thing. Yeah.
There's no red
There's
in
no
it.
Red in it.
Well, we still got there.
We did.
We definitely
I'm gonna have one of those. That's part of my powers is that I have that and I can run a credit card, so I don't
yours
have to
red.
Carry millions of dollars.
That's great. This is a great a great superpower.
So
we know that you make clothes and that you fly, and we like the sort of difference between this very practical earthy skill versus like this very wild great being able to fly skill. I definitely also told you that you wrote the movie Modern Romance.
Yes.
Responsible for that.
Very exciting.
Very cool.
I think I can retire on that. I mean, if I did that, I don't have to keep beating myself up for
you
not coming up with more stuff.
You did it. You did fine.
Yeah.
You had a masterpiece. You don't have to beat yourself up ever again. And then I expressed to you that you had a pet panda.
Yes.
That you probably don't keep inside your apartment in Ireland.
Right. That's right. Okay. So I have a flat in Ireland or whatever it's called.
A flat in Ireland. I just want to think of it as a small country town that's still very like sweet and quiet.
I love it.
And maybe you're like near a bakery so you can smell the bread being made in the morning.
Yes.
Because what I thought of when I said apartment in Ireland was like one of those movies where everything's really dark and sad and like the IRA is setting bombs off all the time and
you
hear people screaming from your apartment. That's not what you have. That's not what you have.
That's not what I have.
That is not what
okay,
you have.
Okay, thank you.
You did not end
Daniel
up with
Day-Lewis won't be showing up.
He will not.
Okay.
Don't worry.
With scarred face.
He is in every one of those
Yeah,
movies.
Right. Okay.
But you definitely do have a panda. And then I think you said, well, listen, the panda can wander around in the greenery
of
Ireland.
And then I can, you know.
Because everyone knows pandas can survive outside of China.
Well, I was going to say that I will go fly to China, get some bamboo.
Yeah.
And bring it back for him.
Or possibly just fly to China to visit your panda.
No, I want him with me. I want to wake up every day
this
and snuggle with a panda.
Just about anywhere. Yes. It's certainly with you.
I don't think he can't survive in China. They're in zoos all over the world.
I feel like everyone always, like, I guess they can't, but they're having trouble having baby pandas.
They're also having trouble having baby pandas in China.
Yes.
I mean,
we just have a panda crisis.
We have a panda crisis on our hands.
I don't know why it's not the thing that we all talk about every single day. That's probably what the emergency.
I think that's what the alert was about.
The emergency
about.
Alert yeah. was about pandas.
We're still short on pandas.
Thank God. I know I can do something.
Oh my God.
And then you were like, well, I guess I'm just hanging out in Ireland in my apartment with my panda. And I was like, nah.
Right.
You're not alone.
You have a partner.
And your partner is?
Ray Liotta. Which brought to mind that, you know, he might be getting in brawls at the local pub.
I think there's
and or
chance.
Murder.
Like, there's a good chance he's going to hide a body somewhere.
There's for sure.
Inside the panda, possibly.
Like a tauntaun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They're warm. Or anyway, yeah.
I appreciate that extremely nerdy reference.
Thank you.
For sure.
Yeah, he will for sure be causing trouble.
Yeah.
But he will be sweet to me and the panda.
Yes.
So everything's
yes.
fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
Yes. Listen, you're going to tame that wild beast.
Yes. For sure.
And the panda.
Yeah.
And then and I said, listen, if anything goes wrong, you can always just unload your woes on your father figure, Stephen Keaton.
So nice.
A nice hot piping Peroni's pizza pie.
Yes. Oh my God. With artichokes.
That's not the worst thing in the world.
Oh, it's the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
This life is working out.
It's really come together nicely.
I think it's all going to work out.
Oh, it's definitely all going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's up to you whether you make this work for yourself. But
right.
This is going to take place.
I just have to manifest my panda dwelling.
You can be anything you want to be. If that means you want to be a flying seamstress who has an
there's
apartment
no
and a panda
limits.
In Ireland, there's zero
You just
limits.
Have to visualize
just
it.
Just secret on it.
Yeah,
just
secret.
Secret
on it. Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So this really is the real end of the podcast now. This is not a fake ending. This did record, I'm pleased to say. It has been a delight and a joy. Please give my best to your adorable family for loaning you out to me.
I will.
And enjoy the soccer game.
No. We are Oliver is marching in a parade today.
Oh, that's
As a member of his Cub Scout troop.
Great.
Which we are constantly toying with quitting.
Yes.
But don't tell them that.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't quit before the big parade.
No, we gotta do the parade. Well,
now,
you know,
to be able to march in that.
I love a parade. So we're gonna march along with him in his little
loud and proud
cute little outfit. So
fantastic.
Yeah, we're all good.
I'll see you there. I don't know where
Thanks.
Why I'm suddenly
yeah come
parade.
Meet us.
And oh God, yeah, the Playboy that's what we
okay so
to
I'll
so,
try to quickly explain
Playboy
it
Plus.
There's a channel called Playboy Plus. They had the show called Foursome, where they got two guys and two girls to be in a house for 24 hours plied with alcohol and weird sex games, and they see what happens. They took that show, made it Foursome Walk of Shame, where comedians come on and comment on the doings. So
okay.
I do it regularly.
Oh, that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
God, you don't have to feel any guilt at all about being snarky about something like
that. No, I mean, there's a little guilt because for sure some of these women have been damaged.
Well, I guess that's true.
So yes, there is some amount of guilt, but so is my career so far. everything involves snark on some level. But Dana Gould, I know, has done some.
Nice.
Matt Weinhold is the head writer, and he does some. And so it's really funny and really funny people. And it's just, if you can find it, bless you, have
By
fun
all
with
means,
it. It's
go check
ridiculous
it out.
And funny.
That's amazing.
But and there is full frontal.
And,
not of us,
yeah.
but of the of the
It'd
dumb
so
people.
It's so weird if you guys had to be fully
that
nude
would be
as you just stood
so,
and made fun of what was going
on. But it is funny because as you're in the office, you know, you will just regularly see video screens of naked people. So
Great.
It's good. Yeah.
Great.
Parking validation.
I thought it should be.
there's a vagina. There you go. Yeah.
My two favorite things, parking validation.
I know,
vaginas.
Right?
All right, cool. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
And
it was a blast.
Guys, we'll talk to you next time on the podcast.
Okay. For we were better.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.